Brother Bill wasn't with us today. He was feeling poorly, so, you know, you get a chance to let him know how much you miss him. I miss him. I miss all our people that don't make it to church, and I miss you when you're not here. So I appreciate you coming. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. Starts out in verse 1, and I'll skip down to verse 11, but I want to read verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And then in verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For have you heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it? And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more excellently zealous for the traditions of the Father. And then I love this passage of Scripture right here. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son to me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. And Lord, I thank you that through your word this morning, that you'll open our eyes that we may see what you would have for us in this passage of Scripture. And God, we do understand that unless the Holy Spirit moves this morning and lets us understand, we will not understand the Scripture. So God, we ask that the Holy Spirit move in this place and touch each one of us at the point of our need, for we're all here with different needs in our life. And we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Paul is under attack. They're saying he's not a real apostle. Can't have confidence in his message. So he comes to explain to him, the people. And Paul is a man who has a story to tell. And folks, I don't know about you, but I've got a story to tell. We sing that old song, we've a story to tell to the nations. We do. We ought to go everywhere we go. We ought to be telling people about the great gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's what they need to hear. Over the 33 years, I was thinking about this. You know, someone once said, when you preach, you just make a beeline to the cross. Well, every message that I try to preach, I want to tell people how to be saved. You know, you don't need to tell me how to feel good. You need to be told how to feel saved, or how to be saved. So I try to preach salvation. That's what Paul talked about. He had a story to tell. He says in his story to tell that, you know, I once persecuted the church. I was zealous about doing what I was doing. I was a head above my contemporaries in all I did. Man, I laid waste to the church of God. I was persecuting them, man, to the very fullest. I wanted to see. And you know what? He thought he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. Years ago, I came to know Christ. But when I was a little boy, about 8 years old. I walked down the aisle and I give my hand to a preacher, and that preacher asked me if I wanted to go to hell. And do you want to go to hell? No. Nobody wants to go to hell, do they? I heard that it was a bad place. And I wondered, what in the world did I do to deserve that, preacher? So I said no. And next thing you know, I was out being dunked in the water. But you know what? I was lost. I didn't know what I was doing. I never accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. But let me tell you something. I did everything I could in church to make sure one day that I didn't go to hell. Man, they had to put me on three Baptist hymnals so that I could reach the keys on that piano. And I played for church for years. I played all the old hymnals, and you know, someone said, you probably know them by heart. Yeah, I know the words of most of them. You know, we sang the first, second, third verse. I didn't know there was another one. But we sang the first, third, and the last verse. My daddy was the leader of the... You know, I went to church, and I thought I was doing good enough to get me into heaven. But you know what? I was lost. I was lost sitting in those pews. And if I would have died when I was a young man, I would have died and went to hell because I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was just like Paul. He said, I've got a story to tell, and I want you to understand. This is my story of my past conduct, he said. You have heard the conversation that I don't communicate with words, he said. But he said it refers to a habitual behavior in pattern or conduct. What turns up in your life in a day, whatever you do in a day, is your pattern, is your language. How do you live through the week? How do you live through the week? What do you say out there? What do people see in your life? Are you the same when you're talking to your buddies as you do when you're up here at church, at your work, or in Walmart, wherever you may go? Do people see Christian actions? Man, I tell you what, I've seen some of people's actions in different places that I said, man, I'm embarrassed to be around them. But how do people see the pattern of your life? Zealous for Christ? He says, my conversation in times past, I persecuted the church. And I pursued my Jewish religion, and I pursued it with a fever for the Lord. I persecuted the church. Our testimony. If you asked them about Paul's testimony, they would have said, man, this guy, he was doing what he thought he ought to be doing, and he was doing to the very best of his ability. He laid waste, he said. But I was lost, he said, apart from Christ. I pursued it continually. And that word is he wasted, or he devastated wherever he went for the Christians. It was devastation. Paul was intolerant of every believer, and he strongly wanted to kill them. You see, he didn't hesitate there. He was determined in his life to stamp out all other religions except his. And he thought he was really right in doing that. In verse 14, he said, and profited me in the Jewish religion. He was working for his salvation. See, he was working his way up the ladder. He was profited more than any other one. He was making an advance. And he said, I advanced. I cut out everything in the way of me rising up where I would be recognized. Is that your religion today? I know you're here at church, but why are you here at church? To be seen? You know, I hear a lot of people come to church just to be seen. And when you go and visit them and you talk about church and you talk about salvation, oh, here's what we say. You know, preacher, I've always gone to church. My dad, my mother, and, you know, they used to scare me when I was a little kid, and I still go to church today. But let me tell you something. You may still do that and be lost in church. You see, I went to church every, you can ask my wife, I was in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and all during times in between if they opened the doors, but I was still lost. I was still lost. Now you might be wondering, how in the world can you do that? It's so easy, you see. It's so easy to be lost in church because you have so many people around you, and they look at you and say, well, you've always went to church, you must be saved. And you say, oh, yeah, yeah. But deep down inside, you know that there's something missing in your Christian life. You have pursued religion. You are a devout member of a church. And I hear people say, well, preacher, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. And that's wrong, folks. It does matter what you believe. And I hear people all tell me, oh, well, one religion is as good as another. I heard that this week, and I say, oh, no, it's not. Religion's religion, but Christianity is something completely different. And he was zealous in the traditions, it says in verse 14, of his father. And people, you know, today in church, we get hung up on traditions, don't we? We get all hung up on traditions. Some of you are here because of past traditions. I think that's what we see on Christmas and Easter. It's tradition that we come on Easter Sunday, so everybody piles in the church on Easter Sunday. It was a tradition to go with Mother on Mother's Day, so everybody piles in on church on Mother's Day. Those are traditions. And those people will not miss on those days because that is a tradition. And they feel like somehow that tradition of going on Easter, because Easter Sunday morning, oh, you know, I've had people come by and say, you know, are y'all going to have a sunrise service? Oh, that's so, we've been doing that for so many years. I had a lady this year come to this church to pray on Easter Sunday morning, but she left. And she said on the way out, it's her tradition. I do that every Easter. But the rest of the year, we don't live for Christ. And it becomes traditions in our life. You know, tradition is handed down. It may not be bad. It's not bad sometimes, these traditions that we hand down. But be sure, it will not save you. That will not save you, folks. Only Jesus Christ coming into your life will save you. And Paul says, you know, I had this past. It wasn't a good past. But let me tell you something. I had a powerful change in my life. You see, Paul persecuted the church. I love it where he says, but when it pleased God, when it pleased God. One day, Paul was touched by God. And let me tell you something. Today might be the day that God is speaking to you. You've been going to church all your life. You've been in church, like I said, since you were just a little kid. But today God is telling you, you know what? Maybe it is traditions that I've been going to church. Maybe I really didn't receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You know what? When I was, I forget how old I was. But in 1975, I know the year. I guess I could go back and add that up. But you know what? When I was in Eastside Baptist Church, I'd been Sunday school superintendent. I'd been RA director. Rhonda and I had been working with the GAs. We taught Sunday school in a little church. You know, you teach Sunday school and do that in a little church because that's all there is, just you. preacher and a few others, and I did all of that. But deep down inside, I wasn't saved. I was just going by traditions and by trying to make everything work out. But I was there that day, and the preacher was talking about being lost and talking about traditions, and I knew I was like Paul. You know, God spoke to my heart. I wasn't on a Damascus Road. I was on a pew bench. But I know God was speaking to me that day because I was just about as miserable a person. I was just about as lost a person that they could be. But I was lost in church. And if you'd asked the neighbors that sit beside me, or you'd asked the preacher, he would have told you, "Oh, Booney's saved, man. He's on fire for God." Paul was on fire too. And that may be you today. You may think, "Well, I'm on fire for God." But you're lost. And deep down inside, you've been miserable. And you're thinking, "Well, I just can't come forward because, you know, what's people going to think?" Well, let me tell you what my pastor thought. When I came forward, the first thing he said, "What'd you come forward for?" And I said, "I need to get saved." And he said, "No, you don't. You're saved already." And I said, "No." His name was Ross at that time. I said, "Ross, I'm no more saved than you are." And boy, that kind of hit home. Because I had my doubts about him, and he was preaching the word. You see, where's your first love? Where's your first love? What do you put before God? Your first love ought to be Jesus Christ. I come to church now not because of tradition, because I love to. The greatest thing I could do on my birthday was to preach the word. Amen. I'm so glad that I got to preach the word this morning. I'm so glad it fell on my birthday this morning. It's a joy to be here. It's a joy to come. Someone said last week that I was in a Bible study class on Sunday morning, and preachers don't normally go to a Bible study class. I do because I love to hear the Word of God taught. I think about it. I think of a lot of things, but I tell you what, this message has been rolling over in my mind over and over all week. I have a story to tell about Jesus Christ and how he came into my life. That's what Paul did. It was a powerful change in his life. You see, salvation is a powerful change. It's a supernatural change. Salvation starts all with God, and God has a supernatural power. You must be convicted of God that you're lost. God has to work in that salvation in your heart, you see. And I believe with all my heart, God was there that day working in my heart, telling me, "You're lost, you're lost. Come to me, come." He's crying out, he's pleading, "Come to you, come to him." Man, that's what he did with Paul. And look what Paul says, "God, who separated me from my mother's womb." Separated means he put a boundary around Paul. Even before he was born, God knew that Paul was going to be a man who come to Christ. Now, God takes the initiative. I believe God knows your heart this morning, and God wants you to come. You know, he makes the first move. He's pleading with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't explain that. I don't understand everything about the sovereignty of God. But listen, you don't have to understand that to be saved. All you have to know is God died for your sins, and you are a sinner, and you need a Savior, and praise God for it. He sent his Son to die for us that we might have life. And if I was ever going to be saved, I had to come God's way and not my way. You see, I thought traditions. I thought if I worked enough, I could do enough in church that one day God would say, "You know, come on in." And that's not right. He would have said, "Whoa, you're not saved. Depart from me. Depart from me." But you know what? that morning, when I stepped out by faith, I just took that first little step, and the next thing I knew, I was down the front telling the preacher, you know, I need to be saved. And you know what? It really did. The old devil had whispered in my ear, you can't do that. Everybody's going to laugh at you. You know, not a person laughed. People prayed. And you know what? I had the sweetest peace fill my heart that day. I'll never forget that day. You just don't forget that change that God makes. Oh, man, I can just rejoice in knowing, praise God, He saved me. I don't have to work for it anymore. I didn't quit doing anything in church. I didn't quit and sit down on a pew. I kept working in church, but this time, you know, I felt so good that Jesus Christ was now in my heart. Now, if you want to be saved this morning, it means that God gave you that desire in your heart to be saved right now. I believe with all my heart, God wants you to be saved. He gives you a desire to be saved. Someone says, I'm afraid I'm not one of the elect. Let me tell you something. If you step out and walk forward by faith, you are the elect. God separated you from the mother's womb. He says this, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Now, if you want to be saved, you can be saved. But you know what? He's not going to force you. He pleaded with me. He called me. He didn't force me. I had to take that first step by faith, simply trusting Him. And you know what? I was saved that day. I haven't always lived, and I'm ashamed. I've got out on my knees many a day and prayed, Lord, forgive me for making such a mess of things in my life. But you know what? He's always forgiven me. He's always picked me back up, said, hey, let's go from here. When I stumble, when I trip, He's always there. The Bible says He's closer than a brother. I can talk to my God any time, morning, night, or noon. He walks with me, He rides with me. He is very brave. I scared Teddy one day to death. Didn't bother the Lord at all. Asked Teddy about that one day. I was driving in a rainstorm and I could see Teddy over there pushing the brake and he didn't even have a brake. You just started meddling now, brother. You've got a will in your life. You know, you got an ability. God gives us an ability to choose. Why not choose Him this morning? Paul chose Him on that Damascus road that day. In the last page of the Bible, the very last verses of Scripture, God says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. He paid the price. You see, salvation is something that's supernatural. It's all about God. It starts with God. Salvation is also internal. He said, He revealed His Son to me. Now, when I got saved, I didn't know nothing about repentance or regeneration or some of them other big words, sanctification or glorification. You could ask me, what does that mean, preacher? I'd say, I don't know. But man, I know something. God wanted me saved, and I accepted Him as my Lord and Savior, and He came alive into my heart. And I left that place singing, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Woo! I was on shouting ground that day. You can be too, if you'll ask Him. Salvation's not on that, it's evangelical. That I might preach, He says in verse 16, Him among the heathen. Don't that fit our life? Salvation is evangelical, that I might preach him among the nation and the heathen. You know, you're saved. What are you saved for? To tell somebody about God's salvation. Every saved person, I believe, has this command. Paul said, I went everywhere. I went not to Jerusalem. I went out to the desert to learn about Jesus Christ. And then he came back and went to Damascus. You see, salvation wants us to learn about God. When I got saved, let me tell you something. This is the reason it's so important that you come to a Bible study. You don't learn about sanctification, glorification, regeneration, and all that in here. You learn it through reading the Bible through a Bible teacher and studying it together as the Word of God. And the more you feed your mind, the more it becomes alive to you and real to you. So that's the importance of having a quiet time. That's the importance of reading your Bible on a daily basis. That's the importance of coming to Bible study so that you can grow in your Christian faith. And not only that, you have someone in that class to pray with you about the troubles that we run into in life. Oh, yes, we run into all kinds of troubles. But Paul says, you know, we're to go tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell the good news. I've got a story to tell. A past conduct. That's the testimony, isn't it? A powerful change. And a personal contact. Paul is going to try to prove that the source of his message was divine revelation and not human proclamation. And he begins to give plans or places and events where he is told about his conversion. You go back to the book of Acts and you follow Paul's life, and he tells different people, different times, the same story. I was on the Damascus Road. I was reaping havoc among the Christians. I was consenting to their death. I persecuted the church. But God, when it pleased him, he shined down, he struck me down on a blinding light on the Damascus Road. And I cried out, Lord, what do you want me to do? And God said, I want you, Paul, to preach to the world, to the Gentiles. And he went alone and got with God, and he started proclaiming the Word of God. After he was saved, he said, I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither did I go up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. He is saying here, I didn't try to get my message from headquarters. I got my message from God. And folks, that's where we get our message from God. A story to tell. I went to Arabia, a desert, a place of isolation, a place of solitude, a place where you can feed your mind on the words of God. Did you know the great men of the Bible did that? Moses did that. He went out to a wilderness experience. So did Elijah. He went out to be alone with God. And I think sometimes we just have to get alone with God. And let God fill our minds and let God teach us what he wants to teach us. Paul said, I went to the desert. Someone said he went to the desert with Moses and the prophets and came back with Galatians and Ephesians. Amen. But he had a story to tell. And we've got to tell the story to every place we go. I wonder, are you saved? If you're saved, how many people are you telling about Jesus Christ? Now, verse 17 says he returned to Damascus where he was saved. You see, sometimes God sends us to where we've been to tell the story. God led me here in 1985. Miss Laverne came up and hugged my neck. We shared a few brief minutes about being here together, starting out. Oh, let me tell you something. The greatest gift of a birthday, the greatest gift God has given me is to see people saved. see people saved, see people come to know Jesus Christ. I said a while ago, you're my family. You are, really. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're in this together in this church. After all these years, every Sunday, it just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. That word to see, he went to see Peter. The word to see is where we get our word history. He went up to Jerusalem. You know why he went there? To get the history of it all. To get the history of it all. Paul wanted to learn as much as he could about Jesus Christ. One of the reasons I know that I'm saved is I want to soak in all of God that I can. I mean that. I want to soak in all of God that I can. That's the reason I'm in the Bible study. I'm soaking it in. I haven't arrived. I don't think we ever arrive. If you're here and you want to be saved, you can be. All you have to do is come. Simply come and say, listen, I'm trusting Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've tried everything in the world, but it's not working out. I want to give my heart to God. You see, Paul shared and Peter shared, and then he saw James. James was a half-brother of Jesus. I just imagine Paul said, what was Jesus really like when he was here, James? What was he like as a brother? What was he like in the house? And I believe James told him how Jesus acted at home. Paul wanted to know more and more and more about Jesus. Is that your life? I want to know more about Jesus in my life. I've got a story to tell. I'm going to go from this place, and this week, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. Paul was faithful where God put him. Rhonda and I like to go over to the Mexican restaurant across the lake, El Rosa, it used to be. You know why I like to go there? It's a quiet little place. But going in there, there's a beautiful flower. Growing up right among the concrete, maybe dead now, but it's been growing, been doing well. And every time I look at that little flower growing out of the midst of that concrete, I think about that flower is growing where it's planted. It's not complaining, it's just growing where it's planted. And folks, I don't think we ought to complain about where God has placed us. I hear some preachers say, oh, you know, if I wasn't at this church over here and I was somewhere else, I would be happy. And I thought, no, brother, you wouldn't. If you're not happy where God has planted you, you won't be happy anywhere. I hear people say, well, preacher, I'm so discouraged. I'm so disappointed in this and that and this. Listen, get over it. God has put you here in this church. You ought to bloom where you planted. You ought to grow right here and be faithful. Be faithful. You know, some of us don't grow because we're not committed. We're committed to everything in the world but coming to church and growing spiritually. That ought to be our number one desire. I want to grow spiritually so that I can leave this place and go tell somebody else about the love of God in my heart. And when somebody sees you, they ought to know, there goes a Christian. How can I tell? Because he's had a supernatural change in his life. Paul had a powerful contact with the Lord. He had a powerful change in his life. and he went out to tell people about Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're lost, would you come to Christ? Would you come simply by faith and say, listen, preacher, this morning I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Oh, what a wonderful change he'll make in your life this morning. You'll go out of here with a different perspective on life. If you're already saved and you just need to get, you know, I do this often. I get down on my knees and say, Lord, here I am. I've made a mess this week. I'm just confessing it to you. He already knows. But it's good to be on your knees before God. And he picks you right back up and gives you a beautiful week. Someone here, if you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God has led you, why not come join? Fellowship here is great. Well, if they ever get a preacher here, no telling what they'll do. But you come. We'll love and we'll laugh together. You can't beat that about Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for what you're going to do in the lives of our people. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the years that you've given my family. And Lord, may we just worship together and praise your name. And if there's someone lost today, or someone needs to make a decision today, God, may they make that decision so that they can leave this place knowing that they've done what you asked them to do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.